Ephesians in the New Testament. Find your way there. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, then Ephesians. We're going to turn in a little bit to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. When I first entered today and came up and sat down and looked out, I thought, man, we're a little sparse today, and there's a few people gone. And that's a shame, because they're the ones who needed this message the most. And so I started thinking about who was gone, and I realized Pastor Jeff was one of those, and his family. And he really doesn't need this message to the detail that I would make that statement, because he understands what church is and how to lead his family in joint worship of church. And so they're gone right now to a wedding in Kentucky. I believe that's where it is. And he'll be traveling back over the next day or two. And so Jana stood in the pulpit this morning to lead us jointly and worship together in his stead. And so thank you, Jana, for doing that this morning. And I had the opportunity to travel a little bit yesterday back up to Route 2, Hayhira, Georgia. And what a great time we had to go up there and preach at the Little River Spring Fest. And I was one of the preachers that they called in to bring the message to the people that were gathered there. Their hopes were to bring people together in a place that they might not ever go otherwise to hear the gospel, and that was right in the middle of the woods. Why would that be attractive? Well, because a lot of these people, they will go to the woods, they'll listen to the gospel there, but they won't come sit in our church. And so our desire is that we can proclaim and preach the truth, and it doesn't matter the setting, that God will use it ultimately to change the soul. And so that's what was taking place yesterday. And so we went up there, and I'm banned now from taking Interstate 75. You don't know why, but there's a place up there in Lake City that's called Old Time Country Buffet. I cannot travel Interstate 75 anymore, for it opens up the sin of gluttony, and that is not a good thing. And so we'll have to go 95 to 10 to get there from now on. So anyway, I don't know why I told you all that. That has nothing to do with Ephesians at all. But if you're in Ephesians, find your way to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin there today. And we're beginning on the part that says, I will lead my family in church membership. And as we've been going through I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer, now we come to that section that deals with family and deals with church membership together. And you're going to see there's a reason why for that. But we're going to begin even back in Ephesians chapter 4. You said, I read the book and it didn't talk about Ephesians chapter 4. It only talked about Ephesians 5. You're getting bonus material today, so just enjoy that. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 24, what we find there is we find the evidence that's been given of who we should be. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm sorry, beginning in verse 17, we find evidence there of who we should be. When Scripture says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So what we find in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, is the identity that we're supposed to have in Christ Jesus. And that identity is a new man because of the new birth that we were born again when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're not supposed to walk in the lewdness of mind that the world walks in. We're supposed to walk in the way of God that He has borne us to walk in. And that is the evidence of the new man that you find in Ephesians chapter 4. And that new man is supposed to have a new display. A new display of life, of who we are, of what we're all about. And that new display, look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. What are we supposed to display in our life? Truth. That truth should be on display with the things we say and the things we do. Not lying. Lying is the way of the world. That's the way of the ones that are outside of Christ. But for those who are inside of Christ, truth now becomes what we speak and how we act. Therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let's pause right there and ask this question. Who are the we that are members of one another? The church. He's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. And as he's writing this letter, he's given them instructions in who they are, and he's given them instructions on how they're to walk. The new man and the new display. And the new display is to be truth with one another. We're supposed to walk in truth. Oh, and that goes outside the walls of the church when we're walking amongst those that are outside of Christ. But we started here. And we walk in truth with one another. Another, for we are members of one another. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The new display goes on and says, this is how we should act. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Did you catch what's going on in verse 28? Let him live up to his responsibility and let him work so that he may have. Not so that he may have, but so that he may give. Did you catch that? Let him live up to his responsibility and work so that he may have, so that he may not have, so that he may give. You have to give. You have to give. You have to give. You get it? God gives us so that we might give. We're not to be a reservoir that just holds everything. We're to be a channel. That whatever God has blessed us with, we allow that to be blessings to others. And that's exactly what we practice when we take of the tithes and offerings, that we may minister to people not only here in our local assembly, but around the world through international missionaries. Thank you, international missionaries, for being here today. And we love the fact that God has allowed us to be a part of His eternal plan and His world kingdom that He is building. And so there you go. You get what the new display is supposed to be in those regards. Let him labor working with his hands, responsibility, and our response is then to give, that we may have something good, that we may have something to give he who has need. Then you get to verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What is the display of grace supposed to look like for the new man? You're supposed to say things that build others up, not things that tear them down. We're supposed to say things that edify and encourage. It doesn't mean we always talk with a melody in our voice and go, hey, how are you doing, boys and girls? It's good to see you today. That's not what it means. Sometimes we have to speak the truth in love and say, this thing that you're doing is not so good. But it's got to be in love to build that other. Oh, and just by saying I'm speaking to you in love doesn't necessarily make it so. Your concern and care for that other person has to be such in regard that you have put yourself off and you are allowing yourself to build them up in order that they may learn from what you have to say. It's not just to build yourself up in order to tear them down, in order to say what you got to say. Speaking in love is to build them up. That's the root essence of it. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Necessary is a key word there as well. That it may impart grace to the hearers. That's the new display. The new display goes on. The new display of the new man says in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The new man is supposed to have a new display. The new man is supposed to have a new display. Why? Because we are supposed to have that new display in a dark world so the world can see the light of Christ through us. Look at verse 8 of chapter 5. In verse 8 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, it says this, for you were once darkness. You were once that display that I told you not to be. The display of the Gentiles, the display of the world, the display of lewdness, the display of lasciviousness. You were that display, but you're no longer that display because you're a new man. And as a new man, you're to have a new display. And that new display is supposed to be shone in a dark world. And that's what you find. We were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The new display was not lying, and the new display was not evil speaking, and the new display was not clamoring, and the new display was not the things of the Gentiles. The new display is truth, and the new display is goodness, and the new display is righteousness, and the new display is edification. And that's what Paul is repeating when he says exactly what we just read in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The new man is to have a new display in a dark world. How do we do it? Because this letter is written to the church of Ephesus, which is made up of individual members, and those individual members have been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God to serve the works of the church and to serve the glory of God. Now, as an individual member who has been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God, how am I supposed to serve His works? How am I supposed to shine light in a dark world? How am I supposed to walk as a new man and a new display in a world of darkness? You see, there's been many people who have tried to answer that question of how they're supposed to do it, and they end up mustering up some sort of amount of trying, some more sort of an amount of striving, some sort of an amount of righteousness of their own, and they try to work their way to be light in the world around them. And let me tell you something, when you are crossing the I's and dotting the T's and checking the boxes and calling yourself righteousness and light in a filthy world, you're not righteousness and light, you're legalist. And you're doing everything according to your own standard and according to your own power. And God says those things are filthy works. Those things are legal imprisonments. We've got so many Christians that are just as imprisoned once they become a Christian, but it's not to the ways of the world. It's to the ways of their own carnality, trying to fill up in their own mind how they can work for God. My friends, do you think God wants your service? We understand He does. Do you think He'll tell you how to give your service? He will. You don't have to strive to follow God. You simply listen and let Him lead. We've got to be led to do it. We've got to be led to be the display. We've got to be led to be the light. And when we are led together, God designed us to lead each other. We are to lead as we are led. Another way of saying that is, as we have been led, we are to lead. But there's got to be a leading that precedes the leading. And that leading, that is first and foremost, comes from God. And once God has led us, then we can lead others. As a new man with a new display of life, let me ask this question. As a new man or woman with a new display of life, who leads you? It's got to be God. God has got to be the one that is leading you. And we see that in chapter 5, verse 1, where it says, therefore, be imitators. We had a little baby now that is doing this. And you know what we do when he does that? We go, wow, look at that little baby doing this. Jeremiah's clapping. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. And he's clapping. And then he does this. Is Jeremiah really applauding his parents? I like to think so. But he's probably not. He's probably not. He's probably not really waving bye-bye, because he probably has no concept of hello and bye-bye. He's probably just imitating his parents. And you guys, too, that are always doing stuff with him all the time. He's just imitating. He has seen a behavior, and he is portraying that same behavior. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We have to see how God behaves. And how God behaves is within his omnipotence. It's within his omniscience. It's within everything that God is. But he has told us that he is not so high and removed from us that he does not visit us and even gift us with the attributes of himself. That's the only way we can love each other accordingly, is because he gifts us with the ability to love each other with an unending, unconditional love. You see, the very attributes of God, he's shown us and he's put them on display so that we can imitate them. How has he done that? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. He put them on display in a dark and dismal world through the person of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, he says, I'm showing you myself. And as I show you myself, I want you to imitate me in what I'm showing you. How do we do what God does? As we look at Christ and follow him, my friends. Wow. We are led. We lead as we are led. As we have been led, then we are free to lead. The new man with a new display of life is led by the presence of God through Jesus Christ. God does the leading, and first and foremost, he leads us by love. If the very first thing that God leads us with is love, then what are we to lead into things with? My agenda. My purpose. My plan. My thoughts. I think this is what we should do. The first thing we are to lead into things with is love. Because that's the first thing he led into this world with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He led with love. We're to lead with love. We're to be led by love, and we're to lead with love and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Ephesians chapter 2 is telling us to be led by love so that we can lead by love. John chapter 15 verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John chapter 13 verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. We've got to be led by love so we can lead with love. We've got to be led with wisdom. When you continue reading in the midst of that dark world where instructions has been given for the new display to take place in the life of men, what we find continuing on in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 is how that display should look. First off, it should be led by love. Secondly, what we see is that it should be led with wisdom. Look at verses 15 through 17. It says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord, just do this in your mathematic mind. Will of the Lord equals wisdom. Will of the Lord equals wisdom. Whenever you have wisdom, it's because you have discovered the will of the Lord. When you have wisdom, it's because you have discovered the ways of the Lord. And when you have discovered the ways of the Lord through His Word and through His presence and through His church, walking in accord with each other, the Word, the church, and yourself, the Spirit enabling you, when you have found the will of the Lord and the way of the Lord, you have found wisdom, my friend. And wisdom is what we're supposed to have so that we can walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly is akrobos in the Greek, and it means this, diligently, perfectly. Did you know God wants you to walk on a continuous, ongoing basis in a perfect, upright manner? See, I can't do that. My, how powerless is the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. I can't always walk right. Holy Spirit, you can't always talk to me. God, you can't always direct me. I'm more powerful than you are, God. Do you think God wants you to walk right? Let's answer that question first. God, do you want us to walk right? Thank you, God. He does. That's the right answer. And how do we know that? Because He's told us. And if He wants us to walk right, is He powerful enough to direct our steps? The question is, will we listen? Will we keep our ears attuned to Him? Will we seek wisdom? Will we seek His ways? Or will we be led by our old nature? Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10 says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But I just think the world's changed in the way of the world today. You know, we've got to give room for people to express themselves in the way that seems right to them. Is that spiritual understanding and the wisdom of the Word? Or is that carnal logic and the will of self? You see, when we yield to the Spirit of God, what we're saying is we're saying, God, you're right, and no matter how I feel about the matter, no matter even what I'm thinking about the matter. There is a spiritual understanding that, God, that you want to give me that's better than my thoughts and that's better than my feelings. And God, when I come to the truth of the spiritual understanding that you want to give me, then God, my answer must be yes, regardless of my thinking and regardless of my feelings. And that's called faith. It's faith because having heard what God has said, you agree with Him no matter what, and you say, God, your way must be right, and I'm going to follow you in that way. Faith is having heard what God has said and then agreeing with Him and following Him. It's not faith if God's not spoken it. God spoke, do not lie. Therefore, we tell the truth through faith. God spoke to Moses, strike the rock. Therefore, he struck the rock through faith that water would issue out. God said to Peter, come. And if Peter would have stepped out of that boat one moment before the invitation to come was given, he would have been a fool, not faith-filled. Now, he did look at the wind and the waves. His faith ebbed away and flowed away and rocked like the boat did. But he's the only man that walked on water because he obeyed by faith the command to come. Once God has spoken, faith is activated. And God has spoken to us about what's right and what's true. And He's spoken to us through the spiritual insight that He can give us. Colossians, again, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That only comes from knowledge, His will, His wisdom, His ways, that we may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. We are to be led in order to lead. And as we have been led, we are to lead, led by love, led with wisdom, led through the presence of God. We know that when Jesus came, He was called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Then we know that as Jesus walked with His disciples and began telling them about the understanding that He had to be crucified for their sins and that He had to go away. Remember, it was in that instance that Peter said, Lord, no, can't do it. Far be it from you. And it's in that scathing review that Jesus spoke to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're about. Because I have to go away. I have to go away because I have to go away so that the Comforter can be sent. So that the Holy Spirit can be sent. And what did the Holy Spirit do in the role of the believer? The Holy Spirit took up residence in the role of the believer at the moment that we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit infilled and indwelt the believer so that you are not walking without that Comforter ever. You're not walking without the presence of the Holy Spirit ever. At the moment of salvation, you are filled with the Holy Spirit so that God with you becomes the reality that was spoken of through the manger. And God's with us. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow ways. That's the truth of the matter, my friend. He is with us, and His presence is ever more to be found in the presence of the believers. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verses 14 and on. Turn back one page. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Did you catch it? Our strength from God the Father through Jesus Christ comes by the Spirit in the inner man. You're indwelt. You're infilled if you're a believer of Jesus Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In those three passages, the Spirit is spoken of filling you. Christ is spoken of filling you. God is spoken of His fullness of filling you. My friends, there's a whole crowd of the Trinity of God up in there, and you can't go anywhere if you're a believer in Jesus Christ without the presence of God being with you. Do you not know that you are a temple of the living God? Now to Him, well, it's not you, by the way. There's nothing ornate about you to make you a beautiful temple. I know you think differently of me, but the truth is, none of us are beautiful enough to hold God. But God's got to hold us from the inside out. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory. Where? You got to be led to be able to lead. You cannot lead without being led. And you've got to be led first and foremost by love. The love of Christ that passes our understanding has to be the first thing that we are led with and the first thing that we lead with. You've got to be led by wisdom, with wisdom of God, discerning and discovering His will and His ways and then applying them to your life. You've got to be led through the presence of God, the ever-abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in the life that we've been given. For we are His workmanship. Oh, I missed the verse. Verse 21. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. This letter's to the church. And we're to be led into servanthood. You see, servanthood comes when love and wisdom and the presence of the Holy Spirit has been applied to the believer. For it's only after being led by love, only after gaining the wisdom of God, only after being directed by the Holy Spirit in our works that we can rightly serve one another. What does being led by into servanthood look like? We find that beginning in verse 20 and 21. Where we read these words, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Real quick, we gloss over that. We say, we know what it means to be thankful. Somebody gives you something, you go, thank you. Thank you very much. We know what it means to be thankful. What about when somebody takes something away from you? Somebody helps you, you go, thank you. What about when somebody hurts you? You gain something, you go, thank you. What about when you're at loss? A baby's born, thank you, God. Your dad dies. You see, when I read that verse, that is really one of the most difficult verses you'll ever apply. For it's in that verse that you have to look at all of life And everything that takes place, every gain and every loss, every gift and every theft, every help and every hurt. And you have to look at the things that take place around you. And in applying that verse, you have to say, God, I'm going to give thanks in all things and for all ways. God, whatever takes place in my life, I am going to be thankful to you. And until you can do that, you cannot serve. Say, why not? Because what you're proving through that thankfulness is that your service isn't to the things of this world, and your service isn't even to the people that God gives you, and your service isn't to the emotions that you feel. Your service isn't to the highs and the lows. But by being thankful to God, you're proving that first and foremost, your service is to Him. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, you're good. You're good. I don't understand it completely right now, but God, I trust that you are good. And by being thankful, you're making that definitive statement. And by being thankful, you're learning what it means to serve God in all things, no matter what. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're ready. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Mark chapter 10, verses 44 through 45 says, "And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." My friends, it is in that way that we have been led by God. We have been led by love. We have been led with wisdom. We have been led through the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have been led into servanthood in order for us to be a light in a dark world, in order for us to be the church, the family that God has called us to be. You've got to be led before you can lead. God's leadership of love and wisdom and presence and servanthood must play out in the church. Oh, but here's the rub. In order for it to play out in the church, it must play out in your family first. You're not going to do in here what you don't do out there. Church is never going to be healthy if your home's not healthy. And your home's going to be healthy when you learn the things of God according to His will and according to His way. And you are leading in your home according to the things that we just spoke about as the things of God. And when you're leading in your home that way, it moves into the church. And as it moves into the church, it affects others. In other words, we must lead church in our family so that our family will be healthy in church. You say, "You want me to have worship in my family?" Yeah. "You want me to have prayer in my family?" I think that's a great idea. And a biblical one at that. That's why God established the family and the church as examples of each other in Ephesians 5. after establishing the walk that we are to be, that we are to have, the light that we are to shine because we are being led, then he comes and he says, let me show you what I'm talking about. And he puts the spotlight on the family, and he establishes the family as the example for the church so that we can say, aha, I got it. You mean like I pray in my family, like I worship in my family, like I lead my family according to how God's led us. We're supposed to bring that in the church and walk in the same way? Yes. Oh, I need to go on, but I have to stop. We've got so much more to cover, and I'm just going to say we're going to walk through that tonight. But let me close with the fact that I want to establish that it indeed takes God's leadership to walk as light in a dark world. You would agree with that, but let me establish to you this. It takes God's leadership to walk as light in the midst of your family. And let me establish this. It takes God's leadership to walk as light and to be the light with each other in the midst of church. My friends, you can't get away that in order for us to be what God has called us to be, it's got to be His leadership. It will never be laws or bylaws. It will never be programs. It will never be organization. You can't fix the heart of a people with all the organization in the world. You need to look at our government to understand that. They got organization upon organization. They're so organized, they're disorganized. And yet their heart is so corrupt that they're calling right wrong and wrong right. You will not fix the heart of the church ever through organization or bylaws or committees, through business meetings. The heart of the church will only be fixed through the families of the church. The families of the church being led by love. The families of the church being led in the midst of their walk with one another to follow the Holy Spirit. The families of the church being led by God's will and God's way. It takes God's leadership to be a healthy church. And being a healthy church member starts through the example, well, that we find in Ephesians chapter 5 beginning in verse 22. And that's what we'll talk about tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the challenge to myself and all around is to be seeking to follow first, to be led by you, God, in all the ways of life, so that we can learn what it means to walk circumspectly, to walk with wisdom, to lead out in love, to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to learn that, Father, in the microcosm of our home first. No matter what that home looks like, for many people in here, that home might be just themselves. And for this stage of life, you may have placed people in that situation so that their dependency becomes on you and you alone, God. Many people in here might be walking through a situation with a dysfunctional home, or at least in their mind they think it's dysfunctional in the fact that maybe it's a single mom or a single dad, or there's a child that's going through abuse that's sitting in this congregation tonight that says, how can I learn to lead and love in the midst of such a terrible situation? And God, that they would look at that and they might call that dysfunctional, but God, you have created that to be functional, to shape each one of us right where we need shaping. And I pray for that person that's hurting. I pray for that need. But God, I ask you to move in their life in such a way that the function that you have in mind plays out in the midst of even that hurt. So that perhaps learning to be thankfulness is their first step to learning to be led as a servant. God, I don't know what you're doing in each family that's represented here, and I don't know how you want each one of us to exactly walk, because you did create each family differently. but your dynamics are all true. And that we've got to seek to be led by you. No matter what the family looks like, no matter what we're going through. And I pray we yield ourselves to that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Jana's going to come and lead us in an invitational hymn. I do not know how God has spoken to you. I do not know how God is leading you. He may be leading you to stay right in your pew and to pray and talk to Him. He may be leading you to make amends with somebody in your family. And they might be in the church right here, right now, and space and opportunity are the only things that are separating you from making amends to them. I don't know what God's leading you through. But I know that if He's leading you, you've got to follow. Because until you follow, you can do nothing else. So whatever He's leading you in today, you follow that. Jana, lead us in song.